September, October, November, December, and I'll have this month, and then see October, Scott, November, Brendan, and December, Barney, and we'll each have a different series for those 4 or 5 weeks for those months. So for our September month, as we start off today, as you can see from the title, Oh, How I Love Your Law. And you may have already noticed, I already changed the title on you. If you read the bulletin a week or two ago, it was The Sum of Your Word is Truth. And as you're going to recognize right away, I think, especially as we go throughout the month, we could have a number of different titles for this particular class. But I think I settled on this one, because I think that should be one of our goals. In fact, together, our goal for this month will be to increase our love for God's Word, for His will, and hopefully in this study of Psalm 119, that will help us do just that. You're also going to notice, as I think most teachers probably do, is they have more material than we have time to cover, and you'd think one chapter, 4 weeks, surely we could cover one chapter in 4 weeks, but you're going to find we won't be able to do that. So I'm going to encourage you, challenge you to do some study throughout the week, and I'll explain that a little bit more as we go through and kind of give you an idea of what we have in mind for this particular study. But you can be turning to Psalm 119. We'll look at some other passages, of course, but Psalm 119, of course, will be our focus, not only for this morning, but for this month. And before we begin, we'll have our prayer before class time. Eddie just informed me just a few minutes ago, Jim McDonald's wife, Hazel, had a stroke. Not doing very well right now in the hospital. And so let's remember Jim McDonald in your prayers. Hazel, you notice, has been on our shut-in list for a while. So let's remember Jim and Hazel. Eddie's going to lead us in our prayer this morning. Of course, the family of Dennis Smith and his passing. Great, great man. I know I can speak for a lot of us here and influence that he has been on each of us, on our congregation, on so many. So remember his family. Other prayer requests. Bill?
The other day, he's at Cox South over here.
Okay.
He's actually Barney's cousin. And, I'd like for us to remember.
Okay, so Lloyd Camp, Eddie, is he doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Julie? Okay, so Monday and Friday next week are some tests. So for Julie Alexander, for some tests that she's going to have done next week. I think. Chase? Okay, your dad, September 19th, and what? And he's having what done then? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the people, of course, that were in the path of the hurricane in the southeast, and then Chase's dad, September 19th, October 3rd, cataract surgery. Okay. Any others? Yeah, yeah. Starting classes up, promotion for our young ones this first Saturday of September. Do want to go ahead and say, too, on front of your bulletin, you'll notice we're going to do something a little different for Wednesday evening. So read over the possible classes that you can attend. This fall, we're going to try this and see how it works, and we want your feedback. We want your participation, of course, but also your feedback. But we're going to focus on some smaller classes. We're going to focus on the class time only, so longer class time, not meet here in the auditorium for a devotional and not have a class in the auditorium. So a little bit different, I know. But look at that list, and of course the room locations and where those are at, and the people leading those, don't hesitate to reach out to them if you have questions, if you're trying to maybe decide between a couple that you want to attend. But we're starting that this coming Wednesday. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask an elder as well about that. So, yeah, Eddie, our teachers as well. Any others? Yeah, Chase. Sure. Friend of yours? Her name's what? Joe Hayes. Got it. Okay. Friend of Chase's, Joe Hayes. Eddie, please. Okay, let's all bow our heads together then as Eddie leads us in our prayer this morning.
A most wonderful Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful that we can come to you in prayer as your children, knowing that you're ever ready to listen to our request and our pleas and our thankfulness for who you are and for what you do in our lives every day, the many blessings you shower us with, and for the great concern that you have for our not only physical but spiritual welfare. Your love for us is many times, beyond our comprehension. And we pray that in some way we can put you first and give of ourselves to show you how much we love and care for you and all you've done for us. And as your children, we have some people in our hearts and our minds that are special to us, and that we need your care and your comfort and your blessings on their behalf. There are many within our congregation. We think of Joe Baggett, who is struggling with her health right now. We pray that the doctors may be able to help her so that she can continue a better quality of life that she has now. We pray for the Feenies. They're struggling right now in their life, and we know that Linda has been working hard to have their needs met, and we just pray that you'll specially be with them and help them with their health concerns. And of course, Brother Dennis, who has been a great soldier for you and an example of faith and preached the word for so many years, we pray that you will be with that family. And even though we're saddened at his loss, we know that this is what we're all striving to reach, and that's the goal of being with you forever. And he's just gone there ahead of us. Father, we pray for Brother Camp, and we pray that whatever has happened, that you will help him during this struggle, and that he may regain his health again, and be with Chase's dad as he goes through surgery, and also a friend of his who is not feeling well, Joe Hayes. We pray that you will bless him also, as well as Charles White and Julie's upcoming surgery. We pray on her behalf. And Father, for all the teachers who make a difference in the lives of not only us as adults, but also the young people. They're so important to their upbringing and their character. And we ask that you'll especially bless them. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to come together as a family this Lord's Day and every Lord's Day, to be able to come together to strengthen one another, encourage one another, and to love one another in our praises and reverence to you. And Father, we pray that you will be with us this week. Even though we'll be out there facing different trials and temptations, we know that during those times we can always reach out to you for strength and courage to face these so that we may overcome and become stronger in our faith and obedience to you. Thank you so much for all you do for us, and it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Eddie, thanks for all you that do so much in helping our people throughout our church family. It's so appreciated. Thanks for your encouragement for me. I know one advantage to being up here is to be able to look out and see all your faces. I think the perfect class would be if I'd put all you guys in a circle so you could each see each other's face, and I think you would enjoy that. So thanks so much for being here this morning. Oh, how I love your law. Study of Psalm 119. As I mentioned earlier, we could have probably a few different titles. The next slide will list some passages that are familiar to you, I know, from this chapter. As we go through this study of Psalm 119, I would encourage you to identify different phrases, different words, different scriptures that you think would describe a study of Psalm 119 as we go through it. So on the next slide, of course, the title that I decided on, unless I change my mind again and change it on you again this month, Oh, How I Love Your Law, the one that we had when we first had it in the bulletin, The Sum of Your Word is Truth. Of course, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I know it's familiar with you all, comes from this chapter. How can a young man keep his way pure? It's also another familiar passage. And then three different passages I put together there. Better than thousands of gold and silver pieces, sweeter than honey, above gold, above fine gold. And that's what I want us to be able to do this month. More and more together as we study this passage is to treasure God's Word, to know His will and know how important it is, and for it to be that special in each of our lives daily. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that. Obviously, that's one of the main reasons we have Bible classes, why we come together at this time before our worship time, why we have classes Wednesday night, is simply to study His Word and to be reminded of just what it is, how important it is, and then how special it is in our lives. So with that in mind, a few verses that I know are also familiar with you I want us to go over as we kind of establish the introduction, I think, to this study. Fear the Lord your God by keeping all His statutes and His commandments. Be careful to do them. Teach them to your children. Talk of them. For our good always, it'll be righteousness for us. Of course, that's Deuteronomy 8. I'd encourage you to go back to that chapter and read it and to think about those things and just what God's Word means. And then, of course, from Acts. In fact, let's hold your place in Psalm 119. Turn over to Acts chapter 3 for a moment. Bill and I were talking the other day. As I reached out to him to help with this study. And one of the things he helped me remember is one of the best ways, and I can't remember the person he read this from. Who was to start at the end?
Harold Hazlip.
Said one of the best ways to study God's Word or to remember the whole story is to start where it ends, to think about where it ends, and then go back and notice that the whole Bible is going towards that end. And I think Acts chapter 3, this particular passage, let's spend just a couple minutes on it to be reminded of where the Bible ends as we think about our study this month. Beginning in verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again." Remember our study last month about turning, "that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.'" So let's always remember, of course, Jesus, which is why we're here this morning. But also always remember that his word, the whole story, ends with that great truth, that wonderful blessing of who Jesus is and what God has done for us through him and what is to come. Eddie mentioned in the prayer, as he prayed about Dennis and his, or prayed for Dennis's family, that's what we're all going towards. Yes, it's sad when we lose a loved one, but we also can rejoice knowing where we're going. And, of course, the whole Bible then helps us to see Jesus and who he is. So as we study the Bible, always think about the end in mind as we study any part of the Bible. And that also will help us, too, I think, answer questions, realize when we have unanswered questions that God didn't intend for us to know the answer, and remember what's most important as we study. And so this chapter, I can't remember if Bill quoted someone else or if this was something he observed, but when you think about Psalm 119, the longest passage of Scripture in the Bible, the longest passage of the Word of God is about the Word of God. Longest passage in the Word of God is about the Word of God. So think about that as we go through this study. So our outline, let's go through a couple more of these. We won't spend that much time on all these passages, but I do want to point these out. I know you've already read them. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Romans 15:4, written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I like this phrase, what it really is. I think that's why I like Paul's phrase, true and rational words. What it really is, the Word of God. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And then a Scripture, I didn't put the whole thing there, but of course, the part that I know Brother Bill White reminds us of, present yourself to God as one approved, rightly handling the Word of truth. And then one of my favorite phrases or scriptures, Jesus' own words, it is written, as he faced temptation. And I would encourage us to think about that in particular as we think about our temptations. Find God's word that addresses that temptation and have that memorized or have that right there handy so when you're faced with that temptation, you know exactly how to respond to it. I wonder sometimes, you know, we look at those three temptations that Jesus faced, and of course we have a lot to learn from those particular three, But I'm pretty sure Satan came after Jesus with those three because Satan thought that was his best chance of getting at Jesus, was with one of those three temptations. I'm pretty sure, I can't say this for certainty, but if Satan had a list of top 10 things he wanted to go after Jesus with, he would have picked the top three to do that. So what I'm getting at with that is each one of us have different things that Satan comes after us with. And so study God's word to find how God helps us to address any of those temptations and be ready to face each one of those with God's word. That's what he intended with his word, just as Jesus said, it is written, when he was in the desert and faced with temptation. So let's also remember that as we think about God's word. So our outline for this month, I want to kind of just share that briefly with you. Today, the introduction, of course, and we're going to go through the 8 synonyms for God's will. I think everybody here has read Psalm 119 a few times and know there's 8 different words for God's will, for his word that we're going to look at. And their meaning as we study this month. And then, I'll come back to that in just a minute. And then September 10th, one of the things I notice in this study, and it's like any other study, I think, there's going to be more and more we can learn as we continue to study. But this time around, one of the things that I noticed were all the things that we're to do as we think about God's word. And then what we're not to do, some things we're just kind of stay away from. And then how do we do it, the how. So we're going to do that next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, another thing that kind of stood out to me this time around as I went through Psalm 119 was the why. In other words, who God is and what he does. I think it's so interesting when you look at the phrases that focus on what God has done for us, who he is, and what he's done, I think will be real encouraging for us as we read those passages in that way. And then finish with, as many of the Psalms are, our prayers. You know, we always wonder sometimes what words to say in our prayers, and there are so many words we can pray to God in relationship to his word and how his word can help us in so many ways. So we're going to focus then on that. That last Sunday of September. Throughout that then, and this is where we're not going to, I already know we're not going to have time to do what I'm thinking here, and that's why I'm going to encourage you through the week. I think I'm not going to give you a huge assignment for the week, so I think you're going to see that this can easily be done, but we're going to split up. Of course, Psalm 119, as I'm going to talk a little bit more about, is actually 22 stanzas, 8 verses each, so we're going to split it up these 4 Sundays, and as we talk about those things I just mentioned, I want us to think about those as we go through. Well, obviously, we don't have the time. For example, as we look at the 8 synonyms, one of the things that I'd love to have us do together is look at the first 5 stanzas, pick out a synonym, and think about that phrase with the meaning of that particular word. And I'll give you an example here in just a moment when we get to it. So when you think about 176 verses, and you're going to see here in a moment, almost every verse has one of those 8 in it. That, of course, would be quite a goal to do in a class time. So that's why through this week, I would like for you this week to focus on the first 5 stanzas. That's just verses 1 through 40. And you can break it up. You can do a stanza a day. That should just be 4 days of this week. Pick out 4 days this week. Pick a stanza for each of those 8, just 8 verses, each of those days. And think about what we've studied today and apply that to the rest of the week. So that's the goal. So we'll try that and see. So the 8 synonyms then. And I've relied on Erdman's Bible commentary for not only the meaning of these words, but here in just a moment, kind of a phrase given to describe each of the stanzas we'll get to here in just a moment. is based on the author in Erdman's commentary for Psalms. And I've, like I said, I'm going to do more and more study, I think, in the future, because there's just so much to learn from this one chapter. But eight synonyms, eight words that basically mean the word or the will of God. Okay, so law simply means teaching. I think the Torah, God has made his truth known by personal verbal communication, just as a teacher or parent would. In fact, words, promise, mean the same thing, that next one. Depending on your translation, I'm going to be using the ESV for this particular study, and that's where, of course, I think one person suggested we work on study skills in our Bible classes, which I totally agree with. One of the skills we want to develop is looking at the different translations. When you think of Hebrew and Greek, English just can't do it. They just can't handle the meaning of some Hebrew and Greek words. So that's why the different translations. That's why it's so important that you learn to utilize those different translations to get a better meaning of particular words. I think I've shared with you before, I have a Bible app on my phone, and I can highlight a verse and then click the word compare, and based on the translations I've chosen, it'll put that same verse up for all those translations. And then I can and read that and see the different translations for that one particular verse. So basically that's a concordance on your phone. Is basically what that is. So I would recommend something like that to help you. With this particular chapter, we've got eight different words that are trying to describe God's Word, which it's just awesome to think about, so that we're going to try to do just that. And I've listed the verses. You can kind of see law from the ESV is seen 25 times, word or words or promise, 39, and then testimonies stresses the content. God has testified of himself and his requirements 22 times, and then the next slide are the other five ways, habitual modes of life and thought, of course, just three times. Precepts is a word that we see often in this chapter. Authoritatively imposed is the meaning of the word precept. Statutes, of course, comes from the word that means to engrave, unchangeable rules, commandments, expecting obedience. And then, depending on your translations, you'll see judgments or rules or ordinances, decisions which God has made. So, collectively, we want to look at all of those different words which mean the will of God. Eight different ways that help us to understand what the will of God means, what his word means. So think about that. And then an example of what I was trying to say earlier, as you read the first 40 verses this week, did I say 40? Yeah. So first five stanzas. So it'll be 5 days if you do a stanza a day. Think about these meanings of these words. For example, the very first verse, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So think about law being teaching, that he made his truth known by personal verbal communication as a teacher or parent would. And then think about that in light of who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So that's what I'm kind of getting at through this week. Read a stanza a day, 5 different days this week, and think about the different meanings of God's Word, those 8 different synonyms. So, yeah, Bill?
One thing to be aware of about all these words is they're none of them suggest just an arbitrary imposition of a rule. I don't...
Yeah.
The translation rules is my least favorite.
Okay. Okay.
All of these words are revelations or declarations of guidance from a wise and loving God.
Good. Right.
A living word where God makes something of it. How it would be if his people were walking with him.
Right, right. And that's so important for us to remember of who our God is, that wise and loving God, as Bill said, and the relationships with his people. Because I know in my experience with education, you know, just the mention of the word rules, definitely not commandments. Education doesn't use the word commandments, of course. But just rules has such a negative connotation. But I think it goes directly with, there. So many kids have grown up with a negative thought of what rules are because they haven't had that loving relationship to understand that rules are a good thing. They're meant to be a good thing. You guys as parents with children, of course you had rules and expectations, and they were centered around your love for them and your relationship with them, and that's a very good thing for us to remember.
In the ESV, the alternate translation of that term is just decrees.
Just decrees.
We're the idea of God guiding us into what's right.
Good. Good. And for what's, remember that passage from Deuteronomy we just read earlier. For our good always. God has his will for us because of his love for us and for our good always. And that puts a whole different perspective on thinking about these words and what they mean in relationship to his word, as opposed to so many that didn't have a loving relationship with a, you know, a father or mother growing up, and why so many kids are so anti anything rules. They just don't understand. Of course, also those in leadership positions should also effectively communicate, I think, to kids what the purpose of those rules are too, and to hopefully get them to understand this is for your good, should be the goal. Okay, so the Psalm 119 is an acrostic pattern. Yeah, Chase? Yeah. Yeah, and when we get into the how and also who God is, praising him is definitely going to come up. It's going to be a word. That's right. That's right. Good. Thanks, Chase. So, acrostic pattern. You've heard of acrostic poems before, and I found some examples of poems, but I didn't put them up here. But it would be different verses of a poem where it had a particular letter that either began with, sometimes maybe ended with, that spelled out something. I think one particular poet spelled out a woman's name, Elizabeth, and it had just different verses related to her, that kind of thing. So I think the most simple example I could come up with to help us understand what an acrostic is a word I've heard a long time ago, and you guys have done this before. In fact, if you were to Google acrostics, you would see also options of how you could do your own. And basically, the simple method to do an acrostic is to figure out your key word and put the letters down one side and then think of descriptions that begin with each of those letters to describe whatever that key word is. So I've always had this, I've known this for a while, and I think that might be the best simple example to show you what an acrostic is. But grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And I'm sure you guys have other examples where you know of words where you spell down the side, and then each letter either stands for a word or even a sentence or a phrase, but that's an acrostic. It's hard for us, of course, to see that in this chapter 119 because it's a Hebrew letter, and in Hebrew, each of these stanzas begin with that Hebrew letter. And what Psalm 119 is each of the 22 Hebrew letters it depends on your Bible, but most of us probably have Bibles that have the stanzas divided, and it shows the Hebrew letter And I'll show you those just in a little bit. The Hebrew letter and what, I mean, I don't have, I know we have a few people in here that have had Hebrew classes that can speak maybe a lot more, but we're not here to learn Hebrew this morning. But I want you to understand that each of the stanzas begin with each of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. So the 22 stanzas that Psalm 119 is divided into actually begin with a Hebrew letter. So if we knew Hebrew, we would notice the Hebrew letter begins each stanza of the passage written in Hebrew, which is very interesting. Each verse of each stanza. Okay. Every verse begins with Aleph. Okay. So every verse of that stanza, so 8 verses, 22 stanzas, 8 verses each. Each verse of that stanza begins with that Hebrew letter for each of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. So what do I want us to think about? And of course, bell's going to ring here in a little bit, and I knew we wouldn't have time to do this. That's why I'm encouraging and challenging you through this week. Pick 5 days, read a stanza each day, and think about the 8 different synonyms: law, word or promise, testimony, way or ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, rules, or ordinances, and think about those particular stanzas as we do that. And also, I want you to kind of look ahead a little bit. I want you to think about the what. For example, I read that first verse earlier. Blessed are those who ways blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So we need to walk in the law of the Lord. And what we're going to focus on next week are all of those different verbs that we see throughout that chapter of what we are to do then related to God's word. So you can think about that too. Another example might be as we think about the following week about who God is. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. Okay, that's only possible because of who God is. So that would be one example, I think, of that. The how that we're going to look at the third week of this month, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Keep would be another. In fact, keep is probably one of the most common verbs we'll see in Psalm 119 about keeping his testimonies or keeping any of the other words that are used. Who seek him, seeks another common word, with their whole heart. So one of the hows we're going to look at is with our whole heart. So the third Sunday, second Sunday, we're going to look at all those different verbs of what we can do, what we shouldn't do. But then the third Sunday, we're going to look at the how. And one of the hows that we see this one often, with our whole heart. So I want us to think about the how sometimes as well. One of the prayers, verse 5, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. So praying to God, Father, help us, help our ways to be steadfast. Okay, so what we're going to do the rest of our time this morning, we won't have time for this. This is why I'm encouraging you to take some time this week to read the stanzas, to think about the verses. As I mentioned earlier, I used Erdman's Bible Commentary. That phrase you're going to see at the top of each one of these stanzas is just what the author came up with. So I would encourage you to think about a particular stanza, and how would you describe that whole stanza? What stands out to you? So the way of the Lord is good. Think about that as you read that passage. And I won't take the time to read it out loud. Most of you have already probably read it, but that's the first stanza. I think just for sake of time, I'll let you read that. Again, next week we're going to look at those words, those verbs that we can do, and even some of those things that we shouldn't do, that we should stay away from. And the third Sunday, we're going to look at the how. I see another one there. With an upright heart would be how we do it. Chase mentioned earlier, I will praise you. That idea of praise comes up. Go ahead and do the next one. Second stanza. I just put, I found the Hebrew alphabet. So that letter is actually the Hebrew letter. And it It's Beth is the name of the letter. And again, those that have been in here that have already taken Hebrew probably speak a lot more towards that. But Erdman's author for Psalms called this stanza the remedy for sin. As you read through that, think about God's word and notice almost every single verse says something, says either law or word or promise or testimony or way or precepts or statutes or commandments or judgments or rules or ordinances, depending on your particular translation. But 8 different synonyms for God's will. In the third stanza, a light for dark days. There's a prayer right there at the start. We'll look at that the fourth Sunday, the prayers. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Keep is used so many times when we think about what we are to do. I think about the word keep. One of the things that came to my mind was when we've, and all of us have probably done this, I know, when you go through a bunch of things and say, what do we decide to do? What to sell, what to throw away, and what to keep. What to keep. And of course, those things that we keep, they have special meaning, don't they? And we're going to see that word keep a lot in this study in Psalm 119. Okay, go ahead and go to the next stanza. Daleth. Hebrew letter, as Bill pointed out, it's each of the verses begin in Hebrew begin with that particular letter for each stanza. Faithful God, divine teacher. It's interesting to see that first verse, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. I know probably none of us use the phrase, my soul clings to the dust, but we say things like that in our prayers, don't we? What do we probably say instead? We probably don't say the words, my soul clings to the dust, but we probably say, God, I'm really struggling here. I'm really having some problems. Give me life according to your word. And we have to know his word to be able to do that. I want us to love his word more and more, to understand what it means. And of course, That third Sunday class, we're going to look more about who God is and what he's done for us to have a better understanding of just what it means when we think about his word, just how important it is because of who God is. His word is important because of who he is and what he's done for us, what he wants to do for us. As Bill was pointing out earlier, a wise and loving God and the relationship he wants to have with us. That's why these words are so important. And it puts a whole different perspective on our lives and our respect for his word and our love for his word when we think about who he is and what he wants for us and what he's promised for us to come. So that last Sunday, we're going to look at a lot of phrases like that. And I want to try to organize them in a way that we can cover most of them because it's that my soul clings to the dust. Afflicted is a common word I noticed ESV in Psalm 119. And we can all relate to that in our prayers, can't we? And then the last stanza, or the fifth stanza for this week, teach me is very common. And it's in kind of the prayer format. It's asking God, teach me. Do we pray to God to teach us? We should, because it's mentioned many times in this context. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Again, that word keep, it occurs so many times. We keep what's important to us, don't we? So let God's word be that important to us that we want to keep it and we want to love it. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, Lord, how I love your law. That's the other bell, right? That's the second one, right? Okay. So, hope you can be back next Sunday as we continue this study. Again, I want you thinking about Wednesday night class. pick a class to come to, and we'll come straight to those classes Wednesday at 6:30 and be ready to go. Teachers will be having the announcements we normally make at the end of our devotional, so every class will have access to those, and that'll give us a longer class period. You can still stay afterwards, of course, and visit, as we often do on Wednesday nights, but pick one of those classes and get started this fall on that class. We're going to try that this fall. Participate, please. Let us know what you think, and then we'll go from there. So now let's get ready for our worship time together. Thanks again so much for being here this morning.